Welcome to Wham Bam Pow. This is a podcast about movies, a movie show, sci-fi, and action. I am your host, Rhea Butcher, also known as the Lady James Dean and Pamplemousse. With me tonight is Mr. Coco Palau himself, Ricky Carmona. Ricky, how are you doing?
Tú sabes, con fuerza, con poder.
Yeah. Sí.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
All that. So much good stuff that
so much
all
stuff.
I can say is, what it do, people?
Yeah, what it do.
What's popping?
Entonces.
¿Cómo está la cosa?
Yes.
¿Cómo
That's exactly
la
what I was thinking. That's totally what I was thinking.
Estamos encantados de la vida.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I heard you.
You too.
I was coming up the elevator and I was like, that's Rhea up there. Rhea getting the spirit, getting that boricua.
Borera. Boricua. Borera. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about there.
It's
gasolina. Gasolina. Anyway.
I have to pull out the tarjeta roja. It's boricua morena.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's
I misheard
okay.
it. Morera. Is that better?
No, it's boricua morena.
Morena.
There
okay.
you go.
M-O-R-E-N-A.
Yes.
No N-Y on that.
No N-Y on that.
Got it.
It's not morena.
Yeah.
No. Boricua, morena.
Okay.
Boricua, morena.
All right, I mean, we got it.
We can do that for an hour.
We can do that forever.
We can do that for an hour.
But unfortunately, we're not going to do that forever.
We shan't.
We are going to make an announcement that makes me sad, sadder than I thought I was going to be, saying it right now. But unfortunately, as much as we don't want to, this lovely show that we have been making for 3 years now?
Has it been three?
I think it's been 3 years.
Tres!
Yeah. Tres like, años.
Tres leches.
Is coming to an end. And it's so sad to say. We have been doing this show for 3 years, and we have learned so much. And what we've learned recently is that we are very, very busy people. And
art.
We wanted, Ricky and I wanted to do the show together because I have so much fun and we haven't even been in here for 2 months and just sitting in here again with you, I'm like, damn it, I wish I wasn't quitting the show. But like, I have to because our schedules are opposite of each other.
Yeah.
Ricky has a day gig on Tosh, and you see him on there being all funny and glistening.
Oh, I was real glistening this week.
I saw that Instagram and I didn't get to see the show.
It was nasty.
So he's like doing great stuff on that show, and then I'm doing stuff at night, and on the weekends, we literally can't record the show,
yeah.
which is why we did that one-month episode, and we haven't been able to do it. And it has taken this long for us to get back in, and it's just crazy. And it makes me so sad, but there just wasn't any logistically feasible way for us to do it. We're so busy that Cameron couldn't even come in tonight to record the last episode.
This is Wham Bam Pow with Cameron Esposito, and she couldn't
and
even
she
be
couldn't
here.
Make it.
Unfeasible.
Right? Because she has a 5 a.m. flight tomorrow, and she was in a studio from noon to 6 today, and she had to pack, and she couldn't come in. And
things happen at 5 a.m. in the morning,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, they do.
At 5 a.m.
And it bums me out because so many people come up to me at shows and are like, when's Wham Bam Pow coming back? Or we love it so much and I love it so much and I love making it. But it just gets to a point where you physically can't even make it anymore.
Yeah.
True
so,
that. Yeah. So Ricky, what True are that. Your thoughts? I feel like I've been hogging the microphone.
Well, I've hated this show since day one.
You've been waiting.
It's been, I'm finally glad that I get to speak my piece.
Yeah.
It's very sad, of
yeah.
course. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. The show is ending for good reasons.
We
are busy for good reasons, but it does suck. Doing a show like this, it's like going to the movies. You get excited about going somewhere and sharing an experience, or at least bringing your perspective to an experience. I mean, like, hey, what did you think it was like this? Oh man, that's what
yeah.
you saw, and that's very exciting to do, and it's sad. That we will not be able to do that anymore.
Yeah. I hope to do it with you on Twitter, though.
Of course.
That is share
yes.
my opinions, not do it.
No.
I keep saying that. Last night I intro'd a friend on Put Your Hands Together.
Yeah.
And I was like, we started doing stand-up together. We did an open mic together. So we've been doing it the whole time. I'm like a mom. Like a mom that's trying to be cool. I don't know why. What happened to me?
Is that cool, mom?
All of a sudden where I'm like, yeah, we've been doing it. Ugh.
When I hear do it, my mind immediately goes to the Beastie Boys and Biz Markie. Do it. Let's do it. Let's do it with the disco fluid.
All right.
Oh, like the back night, I'm going to do it fluid. I have a terrible Ed Rock impression.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, though.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yeah,
oh,
I liked it. So, yeah. So, we're just going to, I guess I was going to talk about what I liked about working on the show is when we disagreed on things.
I think that's like what people. Are we getting into our favorites already?
I don't know. I didn't really take notes or anything. I was just going to free flow it.
Oh, damn.
Because I don't have any.
Let's freestyle.
I don't have any news, except I do think this one news item that just popped into my head would be appropriate. Because it is the reason we stopped doing news, because the only news we were talking about was Star Wars news.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, Star Wars The Force Awakens pulls me back in with that trailer.
Of course.
And all of the women and all of the people of color and the fact that I just found out today that Princess Leia.
Whoa! What are you going to be easy? I'm trying to know as little about this movie as possible.
I won't talk about it, but to those of you that know what I know, pretty cool, right?
I think I know what it is you're saying.
Okay, well, I won't talk about it.
Because somebody,
those of you that know what I'm talking about, which I only said the character, so it's not like I'm spoiling anything.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool, right, guys? Goyles?
Can I walk around
Don't
what
walk
you're
around
saying?
It.
No?
I mean, you were the one that called me out for it.
I
now
did.
You want to go back in.
Well, here's the thing, because somebody...
You're like, no, I don't want any more from the buffet. And then I was like, all right, let's go. And you're like, hang on, I need a sundae.
Wait a second, and they got peanuts over there. And I didn't put any peanuts on my sundae.
Are you sure it wasn't cashews?
Ooh.
Back to a private conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we give you. you said Princess Leia, so
yes.
That's... I mean, there was General Grievous before, right?
Yes.
So does that have to do, does that have to do with Princess Leia?
Indeed.
All right, cool. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
But when I got that message, Miles, I was like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, that trailer, I respect Star Wars for what it's done.
Let's geek.
Obviously.
I think it's okay to geek out about Star Wars again.
But yes, it is,
right?
Of course. I would never begrudge anybody, but I was just getting tired of Star Wars speculation. That was all we were talking about. However, it was worth all the speculation to see that trailer, because seeing that made me feel like I was seeing Star Wars full stop. I felt like, whoa, this is what people saw in 77. Is that right? Yes.
Yep.
When they saw that trailer or when they went in and saw the movie. And that is something that's very hard to do, you know? It was like Star Trek when they rebooted it in 2009. I felt like I was getting to see Star Trek the motion picture when it happened.
Sure.
You know, like, it's just very cool to see that. So I am actually excited about that movie.
I have my notes here from when we were initially going to record after Sicario. And they're all in caps.
Great.
And I have Star Wars notes. Can I read them to
Please
you?
Please read those notes. We're going to review Sicario later. We are going to review a movie for old time's sake, and it's going to be that movie because that's the last one we've seen. So hold on for that later. Anyway, Ricky, go ahead.
So my notes to Rhea for the Star Wars trailer, because I believe this was right after the last second trailer that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
The one where it starts off with like the girl with her in the mask and she's like climbing. So all my notes were, did you listen to the score again? Did you go back and watch the originals? Did you watch the trailer more than once, Rhea? Those are all my Star Wars notes.
Yeah, those are great. No, I didn't listen to the score again. What was the second question? Please yell at it.
Did you go back and watch the originals?
Yes.
Did you watch the trailer more than once?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. And I will say, I did get a little misty.
Yes.
I can't believe that I did, but it made me, like, emotional watching it.
You tell me if I'm wrong. I think we're clearly in the sweet spot of the Star Wars hype, where it's a month away. And you and I and other people out there, we've done the thing where we were sick and tired of Star Wars, So we were keeping everything at a distance.
Yes.
And we're still keeping it at a distance. And now we're kind of, we've been so far away from it that we're able to jump back in and kind of enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
I think that's where we're at.
Yes, because I went to Target accidentally on Star Wars Day when they like intro'd all that stuff. And I was like, get away from me.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've stayed away from all of that.
It's everywhere. It is so annoying. It's like at my baseball game. Like, I can't even go to a baseball game without half of the merchandise being Star Wars baseball merchandise.
Yeah. I mean, there's, all the tie-ins with Target. Absolutely. I've stayed away from all of that.
It's on everything.
And if you can stay away from that, it can be. If you can stay away from the thousands.
Shopping. Yeah. And don't go on the internet.
And stay off the internet. Turn off all the electricity
basically
in your house.
Basically, not doing those two things would probably make you a better person anyway.
If you can sleep 23 hours a day, you will enjoy Star Wars.
You'll like it.
I love it.
There's even a trailer on my Apple TV because, hey, I bought an Apple TV.
Somebody's making an Apple TV money.
Because I wanted to watch MLB at bat and I wanted to be able to put things on my computer on the TV. And do you know how often I've done that?
How often?
Twice. Just to see how it works. I was like, I'm going to do this all the time. And then, nope, never. Not once, other than twice trying it out.
Oh, it's fun when you buy toys because you're like, oh, I can have these toys now. Yeah. Or you buy toys because it's like, oh, these toys are going to make me happy. And then you're just like, oh, shit, I have all these toys.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for them. Or you were supposed to make me happy. You're not making me happy.
I definitely have multiple ways of watching Netflix on a single television.
Oh, sure.
Way too many ways of watching Netflix. Which way do I use? I use Apple TV now because I just like the way it looks. And the remote is cute. But my point was that even on that, on my wall, like the screensaver that comes on, it's set to show trailer thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Wars The Force Awakens is floating through my television when I'm not watching it. It's just constantly everywhere.
Did you watch the Japanese trailer that they put out?
No, not yet.
I haven't.
Are you going to watch it?
You are.
I'm going to savor it.
Okay.
I'm waiting a little bit.
Okay.
Because I happened to be, when I watched the trailer the first time, we happen to have been shooting something at Nerdist. Ooh.
Mm.
Look out for that. It's coming out next week, I think.
Mm.
Or maybe the same day that this is coming out.
Ooh.
Anyway, we were shooting something there, and then they wanted to shoot people's reaction to the trailer.
Sure.
So they had a TV on, and I really wanted to leave. But then I was like, this would be fun to watch this trailer with a bunch of people. And it was, as you know, during halftime of a football game.
Mm.
And if you ever want to watch people be absolutely tortured by something they don't understand and do not want to understand, watch a bunch of people, and I'm not even going to call them nerds, but people that are into Star Wars and Star Wars-like things have to watch the remaining seconds of a football half.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also why I hate football. Because people are like, baseball's so slow. It's just like nothing ever happened. But there's no clock that then gets stopped. So then a ref has to talk to you for a minute and tell you what's going on. Then they have to roll the clock back. Then they have to decide whether they should have rolled the clock back. Then they decide they have to move it forward. Like, I hate football. It is so annoying and obnoxious. And there was like a minute left and everybody's like, oh, awesome. It's almost going to happen. And I want to be like, it's not a real minute. It's like 10 minutes. That is not a real minute. And it took forever. And then it cut to halftime. They're like, oh, yes. Oh, awesome. And I was like, it's going to be on after the halftime discussion. Then they just started playing more football during halftime. And it was the last thing during halftime.
Of course.
And then they were like all dying. Their faces were melting off just waiting for it to come on. But everybody lost it.
Yeah,
and screamed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was amazing.
I screamed for about 3 minutes straight in English and Spanish, which as I am wont to do. Because there were so many people on the internet trying to watch it that it just wouldn't load on my TV. And I was like, we live in the future. It's 2015 and I can't watch a Star Wars trailer on my TV?
Yeah.
What did my ancestors fight for?
Hang on.
Clone Wars.
It's the last episode. We don't even need to get into it.
I want to get into it. If there's any time to get into it, Rhea, it's right now.
Let's talk about race issues. Let's talk about colonialism.
Let's talk about Clone
sexism,
Wars.
Sexism, transphobia. Let's talk about all of it right now. Let's just get it done.
I am not watching any after that trailer that we're talking about.
The Japanese
that was in the
trailer?
No, the one that was in the football game.
Yes,
that's the last trailer I've seen. I don't want to see the Japanese one.
Maybe I won't then. Because I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to see that movie. I didn't like Crash Fandango to get a ticket. I'm just going to go see it when I can see it, you know?
I got lucky. A friend of mine texted me and said, I have your ticket. And I was like,
oh, amazing.
Dope. And it's on opening night. I mean, that's, I'm excited.
That's awesome.
I can't believe that I am, but I am.
I do wish I would have gotten a ticket for opening night because I feel like it would be amazing to see it with a bunch of people that are really into it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So we'll see. Maybe I'll skip the line Fandango. You know what I mean?
And I do think that it's, I mean, from a movie standpoint, I do think it's very exciting that we're a month away from this movie.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what this movie's about. I have a general idea. There's good guys and there's bad guys, of course. And it looks like certain people are going to cross paths.
Yeah, it seems as though
at one point,
perhaps the Force has become like a thing that nobody believes in anymore.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And they've put it away and hidden it and nobody practices it or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a fascinating thing. And also, I think it was Matt Myra on Twitter that day when it came out. I guess I was just like flipping through Twitter. He was talking about how emotional he got when Han Solo is the one talking about the Force and talking about how real it is because he's the one that doesn't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And even just that, which I didn't realize because I haven't seen the movies in so long that I was so young that I didn't catch all those little things, that even that I was like, oh, God damn it. It's like my dad wanting to play catch with me or something.
When I heard Han giving that speech in the trailer, I immediately went to The Lord of the Rings and Cate Blanchett, Galadriel, and Gandalf talking about the past, where like the way things once were and the way things are now. Mm-hmm. Like I love just kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just this idea that there's these group of people now where it's like, oh yeah, we didn't know that that existed.
With
those weren't just stories.
Yeah.
No, that shit was real, son.
Yeah.
Real talk.
It's real talk.
It is real talk. Han Solo giving that real talk.
Giving that real talk. Taking that earring out and giving that real talk.
I'll say, you know what? George Lucas CGI that earring back in there. Give it to Han.
For sure.
Give it to Harrison.
I guess the other news thing that I would want to briefly touch on just because of my own personal, I don't even know. How would you even say this? It's part of my existence that Back to the Future Day came and went since we've recorded this show. And I didn't really do much for that day. I know that's sad and depressing, but I didn't have the money or the time to buy tickets to, like, We're Going Back or anything like that, which I would have loved to do, but didn't happen. But I did watch the second one and enjoy the heck out of it and have fun with it. And I saw so many new things. Every time I watch that movie, or any of those three movies, I laugh at something new every time.
Yeah.
And I think the only one I can remember off the top of my head that I noticed for the first time how perfect it is when Marty and Doc go back to 1955 together, they get the DeLorean from behind the billboard again.
Yeah.
And Marty says to Doc, God, I feel like I was just here yesterday. And Doc goes, You were here yesterday, Marty. Isn't it amazing? I think he says, isn't it amazing? Or like, isn't it miraculous or something? And I just was like, oh, that's so good. It's so good. It's so good. It's just so good.
Yeah.
What did you do on Back to the Future Day? I also tweeted a lot and people were not happy about that, I think. But I was just tweeting lines that made me really happy. Even just like throwaway lines that mean nothing, but I will still quote to my mom, you know?
I watched them on Jimmy Fallon. I'm sorry, not Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel, yes.
Yeah, I watched that the next day.
I watched that. And then I actually stayed.
That made me cry.
Oh, did it?
Just them coming out and the fact that, and I, in that moment, I realized that my life has happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that movie is like a marker. I remember seeing it in the theater and like, I remember almost peeing my pants because I was like so excited. And then one of my first thoughts was, oh, how old am I going to be in 2015? Because I was 7 when that movie came out, when I went and saw it in the theater. And I was like, oh, I'll be.
When part one came out or part two came out?
Part two came out.
Part two, okay.
And I remember being like, oh man, I'm going to be 33. My life is going to be over.
I'm gonna be so old.
I'm gonna be so old. I'll probably have like what 5 kids or something.
Oh, I need so many robots to help me move around.
Hydrate level 4, please. Is it ready? Okay. I'm sorry, Ricky.
No, it's okay.
You were talking about Kimmel.
I watched them on Kimmel, and that was very great.
Yeah. They gave Christopher Lloyd so many like serious doc lines, he was trying to get through all that.
Just
I felt a little bad for him. Like, come on, give him something easier.
It was a lot.
it was a lot.
But it being so much, I was impressed at how well they were able to pull it all off.
And they were right back into it, too, especially Christopher Lloyd. Because, I mean, his character is so much bigger than Marty is. But, like, they were right back into it.
Yeah, it feels like that's one of those things where it's like a comfortable jacket. Like, they put it on and it's just like, oh, yeah, we got this. Yep. We can handle it.
Look at me. I'm an old man.
Also, I feel like Christopher Lloyd has always been like 65.
For sure.
You know, he was either as young as in Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
In Taxi. And then he just went directly to 65.
Yeah.
There was
no
like in between age.
Well, that was always like the gag about Back to the Future is that he's like not old, but he's old.
Yeah. I remember when he pulls out the thing I was like, what the hell is going on here? I stayed away a lot from the Back to the Future stuff online because I had this thing sometimes where if I love something dearly, like Back to the Future, and then everybody starts talking about Back to the Future, I'm like, whoa.
No, I understand.
I've never seen you or heard you talk about Back to the Future.
What are you talking
about? But today, it's your favorite movie? Get out my house.
Yeah.
Get out my house.
Also, the people that were like, ugh, shut up. It's like... It is one day, and this is going to dissipate. People will always talk about these movies because they're well-made movies, and there's a connection to them. It's like Star Wars. It imprints on you, and it makes an impression, and then you can't let it go. And there was a comic in Los Angeles that tweeted about Back to the Future, and he was the only person I interacted with. And I didn't want to make him feel bad about it, but he was like, the only thing that Back to the Future Part 2 didn't predict is how people in their 30s would be, like, losing it for nostalgia or something. And I was like, actually, and sent him a picture of Marty standing in front of the antique store. And then somebody else sent him a picture of Marty at the Cafe 80s.
Sure,
actually,
that movie's...
Back to the Future not only predicted, but created...
I was about to say,
the nostalgia, because it was the first movie that was, like, a meta movie in that way. That was a meta movie with, like, realism.
Yeah, it's one of the first movies that definitely, like, fold in on itself.
It completely folds in on itself. Because you have the world that the more... Which is why you want to watch it more and more times, because it's like a Where's Waldo or something. Like, every time you find more things that reference itself. But... And this is also something that someone was complaining about on Twitter. Like, ugh, this movie's terrible. It has, like, product placement. And I was like, no... This is the only movie where product placement makes absolute sense. Because if you think about it, if you made this movie and you didn't have Pepsi in it, and you didn't have JVC in it, and you didn't have DeLorean in it, and you didn't have Nike in it, and you didn't have Sony in it, like none of those things, if none of that was in there, no one would like this movie. But the reason why it makes sense is because you can grab onto it because it feels like it's real, because all those things like Ronald Reagan and Pepsi are things that were actually happening.
Yeah.
And so you actually believe that this guy traveled through time because he got a Pepsi in 1985 and there was Pepsi in 1955 and it's all real. And it is like the only time that product placement actually works and isn't like just a disgusting money grab, you know?
It does a good job of product placement. I don't want to say it's the only time that it worked because I think of like Mookie and like
I'm not saying it's the only time it worked.
Gotcha.
I just think it's like a perfect example. I should say it is to me the best example of using product placement to make a movie make sense.
Yeah, and also whoever this person was who is saying that, I mean, let's...
They're an idiot. No,
I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
And also, let's put things in a context.
Of course.
I mean, it's...
But this is a person who probably doesn't like the movie.
Yeah,
so, like,
well, this is a movie that came out in 1985.
85.
So you have to look at it when it came out in that time. You can't just be like, oh, well, today all movies come out and they're all like they have
but
logos
movies,
all
like,
over.
Don't have
that's
product
what they
placement.
Do
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But back then, that's what made a movie stand out.
Yeah.
And then slowly movies turned into that. And, you know, they became much. There was only a few movies that really had tie-ins with product placement.
Yeah.
But Back to the Future is one of them. Star Wars was one of them.
In the first one. But see, that's what I mean, is that the product tie-in is not something that you go out and buy because you saw the movie.
Sure,
it's things you were already buying and already surrounded by.
Yes.
It's like part of your life
is
then in the movie and you can relate to that. And then you're like, oh, this person is actually, you get to actually travel through time with this person because his reality is peppered with things from your own reality.
Yes.
And it's not about like... I don't think for the first one. Obviously, for the second one, Pepsi, Pizza Hut, all that stuff became tie-ins.
Absolutely.
And that was a whole thing. And I'm not talking about that one.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the first one. Because I think the product placement in that one actually serves the film in a really awesome way. And so I think that's enough for news, other than the fact that, hey, I'm really digging Supergirl. It's a
lot
of fun.
Are you watching Supergirl? I haven't watched it.
It's so much fun to watch.
I've heard
and
good
it's
things
also,
about it.
It's not perfect, but it's doing some feminist stuff, and it's also kind of like, okay, so I get it. You guys are trying to tackle some issues. You're talking about issues that are like people of color issues and minority issues, and yet it is a blonde white girl.
Sure.
However, they are talking about things, which is great, but and the feminism angle of it is really awesome. It is just amazing to get to watch TV that has action that is produced at that level, you know? Like, to get to see that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I remember watching, you know, the TV shows of when we were kids. Action was just, like, close-in fights.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she is
and you waited
flying
for,
through the air.
I was just, and I haven't seen the show, but the show that I'm watching that I feel is similar to that is The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing with The Flash, there was a flashback in the 80s.
Yes.
Where you
I watched the shit out of that show.
I watched
show.
The shit out of that show. Goddamn right you did. And you would wait for, oh man, I can't wait for the one moment
thing.
In the episode where he's the Flash.
Yeah.
And in this show, on this new Flash, I mean, there's like three or four parts in one episode where I'm like, God damn, that was really well done. Like those production values.
On the CW.
Yeah, on the CW. Yeah. I mean, it looks very good.
Yeah.
And,
well, I'll have to check out The Flash.
Yeah,
you check out Supergirl, and I'll check out The Flash.
I feel like there's, I don't know if it's people who are involved with The Flash, but people who are involved with Arrow, which is also on the CW.
Isn't that
they're
crossing
involved,
over?
Yeah, The Flash and Arrow crosses over, not regularly, but they're in the same universe, and they have crossover. But I feel like there's people who are behind the scenes on Arrow who are now, behind the scenes on Supergirl.
Cool.
And they're kind of using what works on that show to bring the Supergirl. And I hear that it's going very well.
Cool. Awesome. We'll be back with some memories from the show and then later on a review of Sicario.
Let's be honest, we live in a world with too much media. You need a podcast on the front lines figuring out what's great.
We're here for you. We're Pop Rocket.
I am Guy Branum. I'm a comedian.
I'm Winter Mitchell. I call myself a digital strategist.
I'm Oliver Wang, academic and disc junkie.
Margaret Wappler, je suis es journaliste.
And we watch, listen to, and read everything so that you don't have to. And then we tell you about all the things that you'll love to love.
Find us in iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.
Pop Rocket, every Wednesday from Maximum fun.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to talk about some memories, some wham bam pow memories. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Ricky?
Wham bam poweries?
I don't
like that
it's
at all.
It's not going to work.
I don't like that at all.
Wham bam memories.
It
just
I don't
sounds
like that.
Memories. Mammary glands. Boobs.
Memories.
Sounds like boobs.
Why don't we call the show Wham Bam Boobs?
I don't know.
God damn, Ricky.
We really missed the boob on that one.
Oh, man.
So, Ricky.
Yes.
What's some of your favorite memories?
Well, let's go down my 3-page list that I have.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay. So bad.
But right up top, I will say going to the Godzilla screening.
Oh, yes. I agree. That's one of mine, too.
Wait a second. You just said.
I know.
That was pretty exciting in a sense of like, man, this is...
Getting to be there for something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super cool.
And being able to watch somebody else be excited about their movie. And when I say that, I'm speaking about Max, having Max on the show. And then being able to meet the director, Gareth, and that was great.
Getting just to sit in front of Max's parents during the movie, that was pretty great.
That was fantastic. There is a certain, like going to movies here in L.A., I love going to movies on opening night. I would do that in Chicago as much as possible. And there is like this great energy of like, oh man, we're doing this on opening night. And in L.A., you get that on opening night, but sometimes you just randomly get that on another night as well. You're just like, oh man, everybody's fucking excited to like be at this movie. And it's because, this is where they make the movies.
You know when I remember feeling kind of like that way? When we went to see Spy together.
Girl, Slow down.
Because like, God, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And have I told you I've watched that movie like three more times? And I have laughed as hard as the first time, every time.
Rhea and I send each other gifts.
That dolphin trainer is quite possibly one of the funniest, perfectly timed edits in a comedy that I've ever seen. It is so funny.
That was one of the best movie going experiences I've had this year, because we laughed like goddamn children. And we saw that movie in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
And laughing our ass off.
And there were
hard.
Not that many people in the theater, but it is a special treat to me as a woman to hear other women get to actually laugh at stuff. Because like not that many things are made for women to they're starting to be, which is great, but like not that many things. Usually it's like women laughing with men at men, you know, like those kinds of things, and things are funny, but like things are so rarely funny from a woman's perspective that are then funny for everybody.
Yeah.
And getting to hear women like that, I will think about that woman just saying, oh my God, near the end, not even at anything. She was like commenting on how much she was laughing at that movie. And it made me so happy.
Yeah.
I have not been that happy in the movies. And I watched Trainwreck on the plane, and I laughed by myself watching that thing on the plane with headphones on. I loved it, but it did not. Spy comedically knocks that thing out of the water. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Spy was one of the best comedies of the year. Easily.
Hands down.
Easily.
Hands down.
Yeah. And I will be saying, I was lucky enough to, I don't know if we talked about it when we got out of the theater. I'm assuming we did. But yeah, it was just like, man, I don't think I've been in a theater where I've just heard like rolls of women laughing like that.
That's the whole time.
It was so like, oh wow, this isn't an experience
I've never had
this
before.
And then we did, the only time that it's happened again since then is when we did an episode of Tosh this year, where it was an episode all for women, all only women allowed in the audience, and it was just great to hear like, oh shit, there's that laugh again. I've heard that laugh before.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was like, man, this really like, we never heard that laugh.
Before,
and I was like, I know, me neither, but I did.
You
and
should
like,
watch Spy.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that we got to do that? We got to hear that? That was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just, goddamn, just fan.
I feel like everybody listening has probably seen Spy, but if you are listening to this and you have not watched Spy, if there's one thing that I can ask you, parting from this podcast world, watch the movie Spy. It is very funny.
Yeah.
And you should be talking about it, because more movies need to be made like that. And Trainwreck was good. I'm not shitting on it. Spy kept me. Something about Melissa McCarthy makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Well, and I think that something is she's hilarious.
She's hilarious. And I hesitate to make this comparison because people say this about her, but I think the actual reason why she is similar to Chris Farley is that she is committed 100%.
Sure.
And also earnest. When she you can tell in that movie, like, when she's putting on this character and being an asshole, it's, like, very put on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she is in the moment all the time.
Yeah.
And same with him, you know? Like, to me, it was never about, like, his weight. It was always, like, how into something he was.
Yeah, there's a level of commitment. I mean, the just right off the top, I'm thinking of something like, you watch something like Robin Williams.
Oh, you're
like, man, that dude is invested
in
that.
He is in there.
He is not letting that go.
For sure.
And you can clearly tell when he does let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's moments in the movie like that where she's like, oh, yeah, I have to pretend to be this person in front of this character. And then when she lets that down, or when it's like, oh, man, Jude Law, he doesn't know that I feel this way about him.
Right.
And, like, you see that for, like, a split second. You go, oh, damn.
Yeah.
And you relate to that right away.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, and I just think that movie serves her the best out of anything that I've seen. Because I watch other movies, and she makes me laugh, like, nonstop. Like, I've rewatched The Heat, and I enjoyed it a lot more the second time. I watched some of Tammy. Didn't follow the whole thing. I just think that movie doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yeah,
but
she's
good in it. You know, anyway.
She's on that list of, like, I'm gonna, like, I started watching The Heat and didn't finish it, but I didn't
finish it
just because I just, like, got busy.
It's worth it to go back to it, because it really is. Their chemistry is amazing.
Tammy, I would watch, like, every other thing she's done, I would watch specifically for her, allowing myself to think, like, I might not like this movie, but I'm probably going to enjoy her.
Yeah.
But The Heat and Spy are like, oh,
and
no,
I mean,
I'm these are going to be entertaining
movies. Ghostbusters is
going to
be so good, I feel like. And I know that you're on the fence about it, but if you just separate the fact that it's Ghostbusters and you just go, this is Paul Feig directing this woman who he just made that movie with and it was amazing, I think it's going to be good.
It's leaning in the positive. I've stopped drinking the haterade as much when it comes to remakes. I've accepted that this is the world we live in.
No,
I don't just shoot them all down.
So
I mean, well, let's.
We're not even.
Don't get me angry. Don't get me angry.
Let's do one more memory, and then we'll go to our review.
Okay. Well, two real quick. When the show first started, and we reviewed The Warriors and Over the Top.
Oh, yeah.
Two movies that were near and dear and are still to my heart.
Yeah.
And you and Cam were like, fuck these movies. And I was like, God damn, I got to figure out
I found
how to
some
weigh.
Positives in there.
Found positives in both of them.
Yeah.
But I could tell, it was one of those moments where I was like, I came in like, man, I love these movies.
Yeah.
And you guys were like...
Yes, but
good
do you
for
realize?
You. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, I loved Over the Top when I was a kid. And then we watched it, and I was like, this movie does not make any sense.
Well, I mean, it's an arm wrestling competition.
I know. Yes.
A man drinks, he drinks a lighter fluid at one point to get himself psyched up.
Right, yeah.
And then, I mean, was there a better highlight this year than Cameron saying that Terminator Genesis was the greatest action movie she's ever seen in her life? I mean, that will go down.
Great point.
In the history books as wow moments in my life.
I don't know what she was talking about there.
That's your one.
I know.
She's with you.
I'm marrying that.
You're going to marry that
I'm
woman.
I'm marrying that.
The rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're going to live with that.
I know. She likes the third one the most. So, hey, I've learned to live with a lot of things.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
I would also say, and to part on this one, is I'm very proud of myself for re-reviewing Mad Max Fury Road, which has become one of my favorite movies. I don't even know what was happening to me when we reviewed it the first time. And I was like, I don't know about this. I think I was just like in a weird place. Because, hey, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you're just in a weird place.
Sure.
And then you have a microphone in your face and you're like, I don't want to talk about this right now, so I'm going to shit on it. And then I did. But
Do you own that movie?
Yo, yes.
Okay.
I actually bought it on iTunes.
Not fantastic.
Because of the Apple TV, it was $10, plus I got all the special features. I was like, what the hell is happening to me now? Because I'm very much into having a collection. I have a collection of movies, which I haven't bought many, although I did buy the new Back to the Future set.
Goddamn right you did.
I'm probably not even going to open it.
Goddamn right you did.
But, I was like super stoked. I was like, I'm going to buy this movie for sure. I haven't bought anything in a while. I'm going to buy this. And then the price went back up to like $29.99. I was like, ugh, I don't want to have to wait. That's really high for a movie. I'm not into it. And then I looked on iTunes and it was only $10. So like the only thing I don't have is the disc. Like I have everything else that comes in the thing.
I bought it. I've watched it at least 7 times since I bought it.
I've watched some of the special features, but then I also went to see it in IMAX in 3D again. So
yeah, I was jealous. I was disappointed that I could not
still great.
Join you all for this. How does it hold up?
Still checks out.
Yeah,
still perfect.
Still good?
Still perfect in almost every way. The only thing that it could do is have more women of color in the group of women that have the motorbikes and stuff. That's basically it. That's basically it. Anyway, we'll be back with our final review on this show of Sicario.
We're Dave and Graham, and we host Stop Podcasting Yourself.
We started this podcast back in 2008, before podcasts had to have any kind of concept, so we don't really know how to describe it.
It's kind of like going to the barber shop if your barber knew all about the first season of the show Elf.
It's like a 90-minute massage where the masseuse is two people talking to each other with a third person.
It's like the Monsters of Metal tour, only quieter, no music, and just talking.
It's like a makeout session, but without the lips touching, they just talk a lot.
Download Stop Podcasting Yourself from iTunes or MaximumFun.org.
All right, we are back with our final review on Wham Bam Pow. It makes me very sad to say. And today we will be reviewing Sicario.
Sicario.
Which is in theaters? No, nope. I don't know. It was. You probably can't find it anywhere now. Sorry, guys. This is just what happens. This is how we're going out. That's on Sicario.
But we're here to tell you.
And we are going to just openly talk about the movie. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled on it, just save it. But you know what? I feel like this is the last show. Just listen to the damn thing.
Come on now. Right off the bat, spoiler alert. Really... It's called Sicario.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like anybody that watches this show could figure out the plot of this film within the first 5 minutes.
Within the first 5 minutes?
Yeah, I feel like yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I felt like I knew where it was going and I was
really?
Just having fun watching it. Yeah, that's how I felt about it. Ricky, I don't know if you know this about me, but
yes.
I'm a very smart movie watcher.
I figured out Fight Club within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I figured out The Sixth Sense as soon as the credits came
up. Immediately. So Sicario is...
Sicario.
Sicario is directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Ooh.
And written by Taylor Sheridan, who also wrote... something that I knew about. He's on Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
Wrote on that, so that makes a lot of sense.
That does
it stars
make sense.
Emily Blunt, Josh Brolin, Benicio del Toro.
Si.
Which I think that Brad Pitt is the Caucasian Benicio del Toro.
Really?
Yeah. Do you ever look at them side by side when they have a crew cut? They look very similar. Very similar.
I don't think I've gotten that vibe, but I will take a closer look now.
Also, John Bernthal, Victor Garber, Daniel Kaluuya, I think that's how you pronounce that.
Sure.
And we'll leave it at that. Jeffrey Donovan, maybe? I don't know. We'll leave it at that one. And the plot summary is an idealistic FBI agent is enlisted by an elected government task force to aid in the escalating war against drugs at the border area between the U.S. and Mexico. I think they could have left out area at the border between U.S. and Mexico. That feels better. So this movie has an 81... Metascore. I don't know what that means.
It means you meta ask somebody.
Meta world peace. So I saw this movie because we were going to watch this, or we were going to review it, and I went to see it with Cameron, and the opening scene, I was like very invested, and I knew what was going to happen as soon as I saw those cops go into that shed. I was like, that thing is going to blow up.
Yeah.
And then it did.
Yeah.
But the way it was shot, all that stuff, I thought Emily Blunt was a badass. And then I was like, oh, man, this is going to be amazing. This is, like, exactly what I wanted to see. And then the movie continued, and it was less and less of what I wanted to see pretty quickly. I would say that where the movie began to lose me as, like, a fan is probably after that caravan that they take to get the prisoner or whatever out. I don't even know what they're
trying to do. When they go into
when
Mexico.
She goes to Mexico the first time. They trick
and then
her
they
to
get
going
that dude
into Mexico
out.
And seeing everything. And I mean, it was fascinating. And I'd never seen anything shot that way, you know, like with through the. I loved that about it. But in the writing up until then, I was like, oh, this is really great. I feel like I can feel these people, you know, like. it's very heavily written, but at the same time I'm enjoying it. It's like reading a novel or something. But then it just quickly devolved into not what I wanted, really, in any way. And I realized that, like, I had been tricked, kind of, into seeing this movie.
Like Emily Blunt.
Yeah. I felt as tricked. And I was like, this was not the movie that I wanted to see at all. And my favorite part of this movie was getting to see a woman who a white woman. I prefer that
here
she's
we
not
go.
White. Just saying, it would be better if she wasn't white, but I'm going to specify her race because that's what I do on this show.
Because
I'm not going to say she's a woman and then talk about a black man, because then that would be out of kilter and it would be weird, because she is a white woman. So that's why I'm saying it. Okay? All right.
Yes, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I have
constantly
no idea.
Have so much white guilt. But you can say that to me.
It's
but the
filling
thing is,
the room.
I am white. I am guilty.
I'm drowning
so
in it
right now.
So
why shouldn't I have white guilt? It doesn't make any sense. If I'm using it in a positive way, why would that be a bad thing? Anyway,
I don't
somebody
know if I
said
should...
that to me on the internet, and I was like, why is this like a bad thing? I should feel guilty. I am white. Anyway.
I, as a person of color, there are times where I hear about white guilt where I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure. I mean, you shouldn't. You should
like,
not.
I'm just like, I mean, I get it. And then there's times where I'm just like, I
don't understand. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's like a shorthand to like make a white person feel bad for feeling bad, or I would say having empathy or trying to maybe speak the right, like, I don't know, think about things. It doesn't matter. I'm not persecuted in any way whatsoever. So to
you
get
have
back
such
to my
a
original,
hard life
no,
having to
I'm
watch Sicario. Oh my God, Rhea.
That's
it's
not
so
my
tough.
Point. I did like seeing a female cop. Because you rarely get to see female cops in high-ranking positions. And then also seeing a male cop who is black together. That was my absolute favorite part of this movie, is seeing those two people on screen working together. And also being when they were in the bar together and he was like giving her shit and stuff like that, and they were partners. That is a movie that I would go see. And that's the movie I thought I was going to see, but I didn't go see that movie. I saw Benicio del Toro is a drug dealer assassin or whatever, you know, like, and I just felt like very, I don't know. I felt manipulated by the movie into being like scared about Mexico, and then like, oh, but the Americans are the bad ones too. It like, I know. It just didn't feel like it was doing anything new, you know? I don't know.
There was a lot right there.
I know there's a lot.
That
was
a lot.
So I'm talking about my white guilt for a while.
I'm gonna try and hit some of those points you said there. I did not know what this movie was gonna be about. Every time I was like, okay, I think I get what's going on here. Either Josh Brolin, or Benicio del Toro's character would pretty much shut Emily Blunt down.
Yeah,
because she would. I felt like she was us. One who was being like, what are we doing here?
Right.
I don't know what's going on. And I would be like, yeah, what the fuck is going on? I don't know what's going on in this movie. And then they would be like, don't worry about it, or we need to go do this thing right now. Are you in?
Yeah.
And I felt very much like the movie was like that, where I was just like, okay, I'm just going to keep up with you guys. So then when it gets to that point where you go, oh, shit, this isn't Emily Blunt's movie at all. This is Benicio del Toro's movie. To me, that was like... man, yeah, I don't know what's... I am not familiar with this world,
right.
But this is how this world works now. We'll tell you what you need to know. We will use you as much as we can use you, and you're either with us or you're against us. And there are no more good guys and bad guys.
Yeah.
Forget that world. That world doesn't exist anymore. So when I finally wrapped my brain about that, wrapped my head around that, I was like, okay, that was... a very good movie, depressing as hell.
Yeah, it was also incredibly brutal in a way that it took me a while to shake, and Cameron was very upset with me for making her go to that movie. She was like, this was not what I wanted to see right now. It was very intense, and there, I don't even remember all the stuff.
Now, in regards to the white guilt and the racism.
No. The white guilt and the racism has nothing to do with this movie.
Okay.
Necessarily. Right. The white guilt especially.
Because as a Latino watching the movie, if it would have been Emily Blunt comes in and she's a great officer and saves everybody, I'm like, oh, great. I just watched a movie where another white person comes in and tells my people how we need to like run our country and how we can how you can save us from the drug war. I like the fact that the movie, in a sense, is like Traffic, where it's like, oh, man, this thing is so messed up that, I mean, there's just no more good guys and bad guys.
And also there
it's
is
a matter
no
of,
fixing it.
I mean, it is, and it's very sad, but it's the reality of, you know, of it's the reality of what the drug, I feel like he, like, Josh Brolin, like, even has a line, like, is there really a drug war anymore? Like, is anybody, do you see anybody winning? Do you see anybody losing? Yeah. This is just the way it is right now. And I actually really liked that. I was like, oh, that's dope. Yeah, this is a very, I mean, it's all messed up. What I didn't like was the last shot in the movie, because I was like, hey, I saw Traffic, and apparently you guys saw Traffic too, because it ended exactly like Traffic, minus certain sound effects.
I haven't seen Traffic in a long-ass time.
It ends on a sports field.
Really?
With people watching kids play sports, but Traffic is a little bit more optimistic.
Oh, okay.
Traffic is Benicio watching the kids play baseball. And he told that story earlier about kids playing baseball. Mm. And you go, oh, yes, look, he's getting to do what he wants to do. And in this one, it's they're watching soccer, and then you hear gunshots in the background, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. This thing is going to go on forever.
Yeah. Oof. Well, I think maybe it just wasn't for me. Because at the same time, while I'm like, well, I feel tricked that this was going to be like an action movie with a female lead, and then it wasn't. At the same time, I do have to admit, like, well, I guess because this movie could have been made with a man in the role of Emily Blunt easily. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to really change much. And so in some ways, it's like, well, that's cool because it's not. I mean, there is one situation in the movie where, like, it's specific to a heterosexual relationship. But and even that, I didn't feel, like, tricked with that one. I felt like it was pretty genuine. But anyway.
I mean,
so in some ways, I'm like, well, this is, I guess it's cool because you could have a man in that role and it would still make sense. So it's great that they put a woman in that role because they didn't have to do that. But at the same time, it's like, well, this isn't her movie. And then you made me think it was going to be her movie. And I don't really
And to me,
now they're making
like
a sequel and she's not in it, you know? And
yeah, but like, I hope they don't make a sequel to that movie.
They're going to make a sequel.
Yeah.
It made so much money based as opposed to its budget. Outdid the predictions of the movie, so they're absolutely going
to
make another one.
It's that movie is like so, to me, it was like so based in reality, and everything felt so real. If you make a sequel to it, and it's going to be about Benicio's character, then I'm like, oh, well then now
and
it's...
And all the wrong people are going to go see the sequel, you know? And when I went to see the movie, people were laughing when people were being killed in that movie. And I think that also didn't help my viewing of the film, because I was like, this is very real.
Yeah.
And I don't find this funny at all, like whatsoever. Like, people are being killed and mutilated in a realistic way. And
where are you going to see movies? Because there was another movie you saw where you were like, people were laughing. And I was like, man, that's
disgusting. Some people just have like weird taste. I mean, there is a like a rape joke in this movie. Did you catch it near the end when they've gone through the tunnel? There's a because her partner is there as well. And he is taken down by one of the, like, whatever, those black op dudes that they bring into the thing. And he, like, puts him on the ground and puts his knee in his back. And he's like, just let it happen. Which is, like, it's a rape joke.
Is that right?
Yes.
I thought, I took that as, like, there's another plan going on here.
That's what it's from. That's, like, what it's in reference to. And people are like, just let it happen.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like, have you ever seen Streetcar Named Desire?
No, that reminds me of when that Take Back the Night song came out, and people were like, how dare he name that song
very
after Take Back the Night? And I was like, I've never heard of this Take Back the Night organization, and when I go to Justin Timberlake, I don't bring that to the table. So please stop yelling at me for liking this Justin Timberlake song.
I mean, it is a fun song. It's just poorly titled, and the chorus is bad.
Oh,
whoa! No. The words are bad. You shouldn't be saying that.
I mean, there's a song called Beat It. I don't think about jerking off when I hear Beat It.
Some people do.
Well, I mean, they're fucked up heads.
Anyway, we could have this conversation for a long time. We can agree to disagree. So, Ricky.
Yes.
I don't even think we did best and worst, but I think we already nailed it.
I would say the score and the cinematography.
Okay, great. Good call.
And the worst would be I really did not need that father-son, the reveal. You kept going to like the dad who was the cop with his kid.
Oh,
and then it turned out that he was the guy who was like transporting like the drugs.
Weird...
I didn't need that.
I agree with you. That was one of those strings they were trying to pull.
That was one of those like Babel and Magnolia where there was like these
very
movies
manipulative.
Where they were like, hey, and, oh, you were wondering why this guy's in this movie because he does this. Because
I kept thinking, like, is this the head of the drug cartel?
That's what
shit that he lives in.
Which I would have been okay with that.
Even that would have been like, yeah.
That to me, that makes more sense because it's like, oh yeah, why would he not try and be as low-key as possible.
Yeah.
That would subvert. Damn, I just dropped subvert.
Damn, girl.
My expectations. But when it was that, I was like, oh, come on, man. I've seen that in movies before. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, what the hell did Benicio del Toro do to that dude in the room with the water bottles?
Yes!
how many do you give it?
I would give this movie 3.5.
Whoa.
What the hell did Benicio del Toro do to that guy?
All right, that's
pretty good. Without wow.
I would say on a
Rhea,
scale...
Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5... on a scale of 1 to 5...
I have one.
Hey, you know what? We don't need to... we don't need to go to Mexico and wait in that long line that border.
That was insane.
That scene was tense. Can we say the quieter that movie got,
the
more
terrifying.
Tense.
Yeah.
Somebody say something.
Jesus.
On a scale of 1 to 5 of those quiet moments, how many would you give Sicario?
I give it 2.
Woo!
Of those quiet moments. Or how terrifying can a rubber band be? Because I remember seeing that and being like, so scared. And Cameron's like, I knew that was coming. I'm like, oh, come on. No, you didn't. I give it 2. So, I don't have a specific leave you with.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just leave everyone with the show.
Yes.
That's what we're leaving everybody
with. Leave you with a thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
guys
everybody
for
listening. Thank you to, hey, you know what? Thank you to Lindsay, our dope producer.
Yeah.
Super producer. Better than Tyree Cooper. That's for Chicago House right there. Thank you to Jesse Thorne.
Yep.
Thanks to
Maximum Fun.
Thanks to
everybody that donated as well and helped us make this show possible.
People who interacted really with us on Twitter.
Yes.
People
thank
who
you
would,
to everybody that comes to our shows.
People who would email us.
Makes us things.
Absolutely.
Sends us things.
Nothing but thank yous.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody I met at Max Fun Con, I was able to enjoy and experience Max Fun Con doing this. That was something I never thought I would do. And everybody I met there, thank you. People still, when I say stuff about music, there are Max Fun people who reach out. Thank you to all of those wonderful folks.
Yeah. There's
thank you, Rhea.
Oh, thank you,
thank
Ricky.
Thank you, Cameron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That phone call when I was just sitting at home.
Yeah.
Probably
hey, you
doing nothing.
Do this?
Yeah. And I was like, sounds good.
Yeah.
What time I gotta be there? thank y'all.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure talking movies and going to the movies with y'all.
Yeah, I had fun again tonight. And I'm like, well, we should keep doing this. But
let's do this again next week. Let's pick a movie and do this again next week.
We'll talk about movies on Twitter, and you can still ask us what... I mean, I would love it if people ask me what I think about movies
absolutely.
On Twitter, and I will definitely respond that way, because that's way easier than sitting in a booth for an hour and a half when you literally can't do it. Thanks, you guys. I've become a different person making this show, and I really appreciate it. It's helped me learn how to podcast. It's helped me learn how to write a show. It's helped me learn how to work with people and talk to people and talk about white guilt. It's helped me with a lot of things. And
stay tuned for Rhea's next show, White Guilt.
Coming to White Guilty. Anyway, I've like made Twitter friends with people through this show, so I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Maximum Fun. Thank you, Lindsay. This has been Wham Bam Pow. So unfortunate that this is the movie that we're reviewing.
Oh, it's all right.
Which is something like
it's all right.
More poetic, like Citizen Kane.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.